Hello, I'm Bishop Stephen Croft. Welcome to this edition of the podcast, My Extraordinary Family. I'm here this evening. It's about 9 o'clock on a Tuesday evening, and I'm in Greyfriars Church Hall down the Iffley Road in Oxford, because this is where the Oxford Winter Night Shelter is this evening. And I'm really delighted to be here with the Reverend Mary Gurr, who is chaplain to the homeless in the city of Oxford. And Mary, thank you for joining me.
It's a pleasure. I'm glad you were able to come.
Yeah, it's really good to be here. I'm looking forward to seeing the night shelter in operation. I've heard so much about it. Mary, just tell us a bit about OWNS OWNS and what it is and how long it's been
Okay, well, it's in its second year. We started last year, last winter. That was our first season. We started because of the need in Oxford with rough sleeping. We'd been exploring the idea of doing an emergency shelter, and when that fell through, we felt that this was the way that God was calling us. And it happened very quickly. We called a couple of major meetings and got the agreement of all of the churches, it would seem, in central Oxford to go ahead. And we just proceeded on those lines. So we started last year with 10, capacity for 10, across 7 different venues, one per night. And this year we decided to expand that and increase the capacity to 20, which meant that we actually had to then take on additional venues, because very few of the venues would have been able to accommodate 20 people.
Okay, so you've moved to different places this year.
Yes, so we've got two venues per night running parallel. So tonight, for example, the other venue is the Christian Life Centre.
Right. So there'll be two different places tonight where people
can
go.
Yes, and two different sets of volunteers.
Yeah. And the shelter runs 7 nights a week?
Seven nights a week.
3 months of the
year. 3 months of the year.
Yeah.
And they come in 9:30, they're offered a drink and a snack, given a bed for the night, and in the morning they're offered breakfast.
Yeah.
And that's it. They have to leave by around 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because often the halls are required for something else in the day.
And I think I know the answer to this question is yes. But is it meeting a need? Has it met
need
in the city?
I think so. It's meeting a need, and it's also allowing people to have that little bit of time, that little bit of space to kind of reflect and to get their heads together again.
Okay.
We do see a marked change in people when they've been a few weeks with us.
Great.
And
good.
That's not just our activities. There's a lot of people that are working in the same direction.
Yeah.
But by getting a good night's sleep, by being treated as guests, being treated with respect and dignity, hopefully, I think they regain their self-respect.
Yeah. And how big a problem is rough sleeping in the city of Oxford?
Just increasing and increasing.
Yeah, that's my impression too.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's massively increased in the last few years because of the cuts in funding.
Right, and bed spaces have
gone. Well, bed spaces too, but actually what's the big... it's parallel bed spaces, but also the support workers.
Right.
Because it's not sometimes just enough to give somebody a bed. If they've been leading a fairly chaotic life, if they've got complex issues, just putting them in a bed is not sufficient, actually. Mm. They need support too. They need somebody supporting them.
Yeah, so the night shelter's part of a network of support, isn't it, for people at different stages and different needs. So hopefully people can move on in the system.
And by using St Mungo's, who are the outreach team for the Oxford City Council, by using them for the referral system, this means that we can complete the circle.
Yeah.
So we can pass on back, not necessarily private information, but information that they need to know about particular guests, but also that we're working in parallel with them. They're working hard with these people, trying to get them into housing, trying to get them into employment, and we feel that we're partners in that particular process.
Yeah.
That's been very reassuring, is working with the statutory agencies.
Mm.
And breaking down those barriers that have existed, I think.
Yeah. And you were saying partnership, and I know from my own encounters with the Night Shelter that it's become a tremendous partnership between the churches.
Absolutely.
In the city,
yes, we've got 12 churches involved now, and that represents 6 different denominations.
Really? Yeah.
And there's something about church groups that works very well in this sort of situation. They've got premises that are already open to the public. They're used to having the public coming into those premises. They're often in very strategic positions. They have groups of people called a congregation who are used to working as volunteers and working together.
Yeah.
And they can also cherry-pick people within their congregation that they know can help them with specialist advice, etc. So there's a great kind of lump of what I think Anne Morrissey described as social capital. You've got
indeed.
That.
And how many volunteers a night do you need to run the centre?
Yes, typically we'll have four, four and four. Yeah. So the shift leader runs across the whole lot.
So somebody stays all
I'll
night.
I'll stay all night.
Yeah, I'll
stay all night. So I'll be from 9 until 8 tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then we'll have another three coming in to set up. They'll go at 11:30. Then our night shift will come in, three of them, so that we've got four at any one time.
Yeah.
And then three of those will go, and a further three will join them, will come in to do the set down and do breakfast.
So that's 12 people.
Yes, well, actually it's 11.
People at two venues, seven nights a week. That's a lot of volunteers.
We've got 340 volunteers.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. From all kinds of churches.
And not all churches.
And not all churches as well.
From all sorts of faith groups and from none.
So
it's really... It's a really good mix.
Yeah,
it's good for us.
And you also took me earlier into the storeroom, which is packed with things to eat and things that would be useful. And where does all that come from?
Well, what we try to do is we try to link each venue with at least one other church or college. We've had quite a lot of support from the colleges.
Oh, really? That's good to know.
So in some cases, colleges, for example, are doing the laundry. I know, I'm fairly certain that the synagogue is doing the laundry for one of the churches. And so we've got that kind of commitment. But also, as I say, colleges and churches.
Mm.
So, for example, here at Greyfriars, the Link Church is St Andrew's Linton Road.
Yeah.
And they've been marvellously generous, has have the congregation here at Greyfriars. So that accounts for the very overstocked store.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really good. And it just has another few weeks to go now.
Yes, we finish on the 31st of March. So sadly... That we'll have to finish. We're just not geared up to do it anymore.
No. And I guess to provide something permanently would also, take the responsibility away from the wider community.
Yeah, and also, I mean, there are rules and regulations. So if, for example, a church hall does more than 27 days of this in a year, they have to go for change of use.
Right.
And would have to pay business rates.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that.
But this is with the support of the City Council.
Yes. And I mean, I think if it came to it, they'd probably turn a blind eye.
And is there a team that fundraises for you?
Well, we've got just appointed a fundraiser, a volunteer fundraiser, who is in her professional life a fundraiser, so that's really good. And she's going to work with a team. She's just working on the strategy for it at the moment.
Okay, so you're beginning to think already about next year.
Yes, we're going to have a much bigger salary. We realise that we need to pay more hours. So we've got only one salaried worker at the moment.
Right.
We're going to need one and a half next year, without a shadow of doubt. So we know that's going to be the biggest outlay, will be the salary. But that's offset by the value that we get from the volunteers.
Mm.
If we were to price the hours that they put in, it would be huge. And I think that's always got to be stated, because people always look at charities and they look at that sort of pie chart that you might do and see the big chunk that's salaries or administration.
Yeah.
But actually...
The volunteers make it possible.
340 volunteers.
Yeah, it's one for every day of the year.
Almost.
It's a year's worth, isn't it?
There's a benefit, there's a value there.
Yeah, and this isn't, this is people giving up time often in the middle of the night or
the early
hours, presumably, when they've still to go to work.
They do.
The next day or look after
they do.
Families. Yeah.
And the venues have been very generous as well.
Yeah.
Very few of them have asked. We've offered to pay the additional insurance, the additional gas, electric, etc.
Yeah.
Very few have claimed that.
Uh-huh.
A lot have paid for their own setup, their own beds and things.
Yeah.
And they've been very generous with that accommodation.
And you're chaplain to the homeless, of course, all the year round, not just for the 3 months at the night shelter. So what does your ministry consist of
the other months of the year? It has changed hugely.
Yeah.
It used to be very much going to one of the hostels, maybe O'Hanlon House, maybe Simon House, maybe Lucy Faithful House when it was still going. And you would see people that you knew and had been there for some time. People move around very fast now, which is good. It's good. But so I can't make the same sort of relationships at all.
No.
I know people on the street. I know them and I talk to them. I know the big issue sellers. I will talk and share news. I'm really there for the spiritual need, and people will ask for prayer. And sometimes that takes place publicly or you still praying for me then? Sister, I often get called sister. And I think they like to know that that's happening. Yeah. So it is largely for their spiritual needs, but you can't tap into that until you've got to know them as individuals and personalities.
Yeah. And what is it that, Mary, that motivates you in this demanding but hugely worthwhile piece of work?
I've been a very fortunate person all my life, and I've always had the benefit of a home and a secure home. I realised really at quite an early stage that it is only that that allows you to flourish properly as a human being, or at least without it, it's very difficult to flourish as a human being. And so I see that as a very, very basic necessity. It's the shelter bit, you know, right at the bottom of the pyramid, it's that, that business of shelter. And it just seemed to me to be, I became particularly incensed in the 70s when the film Kathy Come Home was broadcast, and the sheer misery of that little family and the terrible ramifications that there were because of their homelessness. Yeah. And so it struck me as being a very basic injustice. Mm. And I did do a couple of Crisis at Christmases in the 90s when I was training for ordination.
Right.
That really changed my life.
Yeah. And what is it I'm asking everybody about what it means to be contemplative or compassionate or courageous? Or what is it that keeps refreshing your compassion in these situations?
Seeing good outcomes, greeting people and seeing them as human beings and with a life and a variety of life of their own. And I think it's a combination of all. You do have to be courageous, and I think you have to talk out and say things that people don't always want to hear. That's for sure. You do have to be compassionate, but being sensible as well. Yeah. And contemplative, well, I hope that I hold them in prayer. In some centres, there's overt praying. We don't impose that as a necessity, and I take the view that God knows, so I don't need to be shouted at. So I tend to pray privately, maybe at night. But sometimes they will ask for prayer as well.
Yeah, great. That's really good. Thank you, Mary. That's lovely. And it's really good to be here. And
it's very good. Would you like a cup of tea?
And a cup of tea would be lovely. But first, would you pray, as I ask everybody, for the diocese, and especially perhaps for our ministry to those who have nowhere to live?
Father, we bring before you all those who will sleep within the shelter tonight, here and at the Christian Life Centre. We pray for all the volunteers, for their peace and security and safety. We pray for the whole diocese as a society we grapple with poverty and injustice and housing deprivation. And we ask, Lord, for you to turn the hearts of people in authority, that they will look with mercy on those who are so marginalised. So we pray in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Mary, thank you. Thank you for all that you do, and thank you for being part of this extraordinary family.
Thank you for coming.